Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts, and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I am so honored today. What a privilege and a thrill to have Sandra Joseph with us. Sandra is a history-making Broadway star turned inspirational keynote speaker and author of the new book, Unmasking What Matters, 10 Life Lessons from 10 Years on Broadway. Her legendary run as Christine in The Phantom of the Opera spanned 10 years, more than 1,300 performances, and earned her the record as the longest-running leading lady in the longest-running Broadway show of all time. Today, Sandra is on a mission to empower other people's voices through her work as an author, speaker, and workshop facilitator. Sandra, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Vicki. I'm excited to be talking to you today.
Oh, what a thrilling life and what a great contribution you've already made. And I'd love to hear more about that. I know everyone listening would. So in your new book, you talk about unmasking, phantom references aside. What does that term mean to you?
Well, phantom has had such universal resonance around the globe. It's been seen by 140 million people in more than a dozen countries. And it begs the question, what is it about that show that strikes such a chord in people? And of course, everyone loves that beautiful music and the spectacle of the chandelier and the beautiful costumes. But what I come to recognize from standing on that stage, being a part of that show for 10 years, is there's an emotional truth that I think every single person in the audience feels. I think we all know what it is to want to cover up some part of ourselves, because so many of us feel on some level that we're fundamentally flawed in some way, that there's something that if you really saw me for all of who I am, you would find me wanting in some way or inadequate. And what I loved so much about getting to play Christine is her journey is such a powerful metaphor. When she first sees the phantom without his mask, she runs away in fear. But by the end of the play, she's able to hold his unmasked face in her hands and see him through eyes of absolute unconditional love. And I think for all of us, when we can learn to see each other and most importantly ourselves without the mask and really begin to move from a place of fear to a place of love and accept all of who we are and see behind the mask of the other, anyone we might consider other or different, this is where real transformation begins. It's a transformational moment in the play. And for all of us, if you can think back to a time when you experienced being really, truly seen and accepted and loved, I think we all find that is a transformational moment in our lives as well.
That is so unbelievably powerful, really powerful, and something we need so desperately in our world today. So how can we learn to be brave enough to take off our own masks?
Oh, you know, it's I think first of all, recognizing that it's not easy. It's not designed to be easy from an evolutionary perspective. We're such social creatures, and we do care deeply about what others think of us. And for so many people, women in particular, that fear holds us back from being able to drop that mask and show up the way we most want to, as who we know ourselves to be inside. You know, I think when we get quiet enough, when we have those moments where we're feeling connected to all that is, when we step outside of the small egoic self and we are able to be in that capital S self, the soulful connected part of us that knows our own worth, and we feel that urge to express something, to make a difference in some way, what stops us, what holds us back is the fear of the judgment of other people, the fear that we carry ourselves, that we might not measure up. What if I fail? What if I'm not good enough? And so cultivating the courage every single day to walk into the hot center of vulnerability, that I think is sacred, holy work that each one of us has to take, especially at this time in history. And I'm feeling so passionate right now, especially about women and women's voices. Although I have had this career that required me to stand in front of large crowds of people by myself and not only speak but sing, which looking at it from the outside might seem like, well, it must be easy for her because she, you know, she's had decades of experience doing that. When I tell you it is still a challenge, it has always been a challenge. I mean, I speak from experience. It is so difficult sometimes to face that vulnerability. But I believe that love outweighs fear. And it was the love of that art form that helped me cultivate the courage to get out there and do this thing that felt so naked and so terrifying. And so I feel like for each person, whatever it is that you love, even if it's the love of a cause, love of humanity and wanting to make a difference in whatever small or large way you feel called to get out there and make that difference, following the path of love and finding the support of people who love you, that's where courage begins. I believe that's the birthplace of courage that allows us to move through that vulnerability and the discomfort of it and drop that mask and show up as the fullest expression of who you know yourself to be inside.
You know, that's so beautiful, and that's where we can all really make our ultimate contribution to the world is when we're in that place. So very beautiful. Tell us a little bit about the difference between living a masked versus unmasked life. How does it benefit us to remove our masks?
Well, there's certainly a place for an identity, right? We all have this earth suit we're walking around in, and we're all needing to have an ego, a person that we show up as with this particular set of personality traits, sub-personalities. Not all masks that we wear are false, but I think oftentimes we get caught in a trap of living up to expectations of other people, often the projections of how we think other people want us to show up, or, this has been the big one for me, the expectations we put on ourselves that we need to show up in a certain way. For me, it has a lot to do with feeling that I need to be perfect, that I need to do everything right. If I make a mistake, it's a tragedy. I'm such an enormous failure if I don't get it all right. So for each person, I think looking at what am I saying to myself that's keeping a certain persona in place? Or what do I perceive other people to be expecting of me or projecting onto me that might make me feel as though I have to show up in a certain way that feels like a mask. Like maybe it was true for me at one time, but it's like an old costume that no longer fits that I'm ready to drop. So asking ourselves, what can I say to myself? What could I say that would give me the courage to drop that mask and drop those expectations of others and the ones that I put on myself that would allow me to show up now in a more authentic way that feels like ease and freedom and walking in a space of grace and openness and that receptive flow state that's really the expansive place where miracles occur in our lives, not when we're in a contracted, masked, held back version, but when we're completely open. I think that's when we're led in the right direction and we know the next step to take on the path. So giving ourselves that permission to drop the mask and trusting in life, I think that is a practice that we can each engage in every single day in our lives.
Again, that is so powerful. And talk about showing up in elegance and grace. 10 years, 6 nights a week in the same role. You know, it sounds like it could easily lead to a lot of overwhelm and burnout. How did you keep your performances fresh?
Well, there's so much I could say about the importance of self-care when you're in any kind of high-stakes environment, but I think I have a very feminine approach to this that might be a little counterintuitive. There's a lot of talk in my industry about how performing at a high level like that really is like a marathon, an endurance test in some ways. And it is. It's very physically demanding. I slept on average 9 or 10 hours a night while I was performing. I still sleep often 9 hours a night. So that was really important. Hydration was really important. But to me, the mental, I don't really resonate with this phrase, mental toughness, that is very popular right now. To me, the mindset that was so important was one of self-compassion and self-nurturance. To be able to give our all, especially over the long term, requires an attitude toward oneself that is incredibly, I think, kind, compassionate, gentle, and nurturing. Because if I'm going to hold myself to a really high standard to give 150% every single time, it's attainable and I'm not going to completely lose my mind and get really imbalanced. To me, I needed to be really kind to myself, to treat myself not like a diva, but, well, I guess you could say like a diva, but to treat myself with compassion and real self-care. You know, women and men process stress differently. We women need the tend and befriend. When we're in, you know, that fight, flight, freeze, what helps us to come back to center and to feel safe enough to open ourselves up and be vulnerable, which is what I was required to be every single night in that show, what I needed was a massage. I needed time with friends. I needed little rituals at the end of the night, like putting essential oils on before I would sleep, like things like that. Self-nurturing behaviors were really important to me. And also, when I'm talking of mindset, one of the things that was so helpful to me was remembering that I had an opportunity every single night to affect individuals in a way that might have a lasting impact with them. You know, it might be my 500th or 1,000th show, but someone was out there who was seeing that show for the first and maybe only time. And that gave me motivation to say, okay, How do I want to show up for that one person? I think getting outside of ourselves and remembering the difference we have the opportunity to make in whatever we're doing each day, that's incredibly motivating, that sense of purpose, because we all want to make a difference with whatever it is that we do in our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, no question. And in addition to the fact that you were able to do that on Broadway with different audiences 6 nights a week, it's also the power of the book that you've written, because that's going to touch people all over the world. And, you know, it's just so important to get your story out in that way. You've done it in so many impressive ways, but to get it out in a book is, I think, one of the most important things any human being can do, is to get their story out. So you shared with me, which I find really hard to believe, that you once suffered from really crippling stage fright. How did you move from that place to become a leading lady on Broadway?
Yes. Well, I share that story in great detail in the book. And it really is what we've been talking about, you know, moving through fear to love. And I fell in love with musical theater from a young age. I saw the musical Annie, and I knew, like a bolt of lightning to my heart, that was what I wanted to do. I just loved that art form so deeply. But I was a shy, insecure kid. I am what they call an HSP, a highly sensitive person. I'm an introvert. I'm not at all the personality type that wants to have a spotlight on her. As a kid, I was not. And as an adult, I am not. And I just want to share, since you just talked about the importance of sharing our story and writing a book, the journey to writing my book has mirrored the journey to making it to Broadway and moving through that stage fright. Now, it's been like a complete repeat of the journey in a really interesting way, to watch these two paths completely mirror each other has been really interesting to observe. The love of an art form, I love books, and I began to love writing. I joined a writer's group just as I began taking voice lessons, studying singing and acting, and walking through the vulnerability of sharing my voice for the first time as a singer and now as a writer, it's been the same terrifying, humbling journey. And even now, all these years later, after moving through all that fear and being very visible on Broadway for all those years, sharing my voice on the page and sharing my own personal story has ushered in a new level of vulnerability that I have never experienced before. Because it's one thing to say and sing someone else's words and tell someone else's story, but to share my own story and my own voice, my own words, amazed at how scary it has been. And I have a new respect for authors, memoirists, anyone who puts words on a page, because it feels so naked and so raw and so true that I'm having to relearn everything that I learned the first time around and practice everything I know. And I will say for sure, it's not easy. One thing that's really been helpful to me that I hope will help other people is recognizing it's okay that it's not easy. It's okay to feel scared. And we really can learn to feel that fear and keep putting one foot in front of the other anyway. That's what it's been like for me. I don't believe in, and I certainly don't have, you know, 5 steps to never feeling afraid again. I think we all have to find our own personal practices that help us move through the vulnerability we feel when we're expressing what's inside of us. And for me, what helps is the love of friends, reaching out for support when I need it, asking for help, not trying to do it alone, getting in groups of people who've been through similar things, and really practicing mindfulness, trying to stay in the present moment as much as possible, breath work, yoga, meditation, all of it. I do all of it because fear never really went away, but I've learned to befriend it and recognize that no matter what happens, I will be okay because I know who I am at my core, and I have done the work to recognize that that being that's there is connected to every other being that's walking this planet, and it's connected to all of life. So helping, you know, to step outside of that small egoic mindset, that's what gets me putting one foot in front of the other.
That is so beautiful, and it's so true, and I think it happens at every stage of our lives if we keep invested in new experiences, because there's always going to be that fear of the unknown and that fear of the new. And I would just love it if you have something to share with young women and old about their dreams and passions that sometimes maybe they feel compromised by fear and they don't reach out and really grab those dreams and experience those passions.
Oh, I love that question, Vicki. Women and girls especially are so close to my heart because we're so relational. We feel things so deeply and we are so vulnerable. And right now with everything that's happening in our culture, the Me Too movement and Time's Up, we are in the midst of a sea change right now. The paradigm is shifting in our lifetime. And I think we all feel it and we want to be a part of it. And I feel like right now, our activism, feminists moving women forward, has to do with each one of us tapping into our own heart and asking the question, what would I do if I weren't afraid? What difference would I make? What dream would I pursue? What goals would I set for myself if I really had the courage? And then when we get in that silent space and we feel that curiosity, that pull, whatever that quiet yearning is of our heart, we need to draw on the strength of every other woman throughout history who has conquered her own fear, who has moved boldly toward her own dreams. And what I literally envision, all those powerful women throughout history, like think of the sea of suffragettes, think of Rosa Parks, think of whoever it is that you think of as a beacon of feminine power and strength, all the feminists throughout history standing beside you and behind you. Like I sometimes go for a jog and I listen to music that inspires me, like the song Superwoman from Alicia Keys. And I picture all those powerful women, Oprah beside me, running behind me like a wind at my back, propelling me forward and giving me courage and strength to say, I did it, you can do it. And I want to add my voice to the choir of women saying, if I can do it, you can do it. I feel absolutely paralyzed by fear sometimes. I feel like I am in a shitstorm of vulnerability sometimes where I don't know how I'm going to face the scary next thing that's ahead of me. But drawing on the strength of all of these other women and knowing that this is our time to rise and that my small act of courage in whatever little arena I'm facing right now, that is a brave act of feminism that pushes all of us forward because courage is contagious. So when any woman stands up to her fear and moves forward anyway, she is giving courage to the next generation and the next and the next. I think we all need to dig deep right now and find a way to get out of the small self and join in the wave of courageous women so that we can become the leaders of tomorrow. I think we all can agree that the Dalai Lama was right when he said the world will be saved by the Western woman. And it's up to every single one of us to rise up in whatever way, whatever that means for you. We're not all called to be on the political scene, but we are called to find our courage and find our voice in our own lives. And that, to me, is dropping a pebble in the pond of moving women forward and taking our rightful place as equals in history. And I think we may not see it completely in our own lifetime, but future generations of women are going to benefit from every single one of us finding our voice and standing in our power.
That is so powerful. And pursuing our dreams, though, really, as you said, does take courage. And that courage is something we have to access from within ourselves, right?
Absolutely.
So part of your inspiration for writing your new book came from the experience of losing your dad. You'd shared that with me earlier. How were you able to come through the grief to tap into your creativity once again? Because everyone experiences grief a little bit differently. And I think it's the one thing that for me personally and for most people I know, it really does take time. So how were you able to jump back in creatively?
Oh, that's a great question. My father was the first person who saw behind all masks that I wore and just believed in me and loved me unconditionally. And he died very suddenly of a heart attack when he was 67 years old. And that loss shook me to the core and brought me to my knees. And around that same time, actually within that same year, I had a bit of a health scare that really caught my attention. Mine turned out to be okay, but I was really grappling with life and death issues at that time. And it was the year after I left Phantom. So I had let go of that role that had changed my life. And I had lost my father, who was sort of my anchor to feeling safe in this world. And I had a health crisis of my own that made me really question, how do I want to spend the rest of my time here? And, you know, loss for all of us gets our attention and often brings with it a sense of urgency about how we're living our lives. And do the people I love really know how much they mean to me? And how can I express that more? And how can I use whatever time I'm given, whatever time I have left here, how can I use my voice and the gifts that I've been given in a way that has the most meaning for me personally and that has the potential to make a difference in a lasting way? Well, I knew I wanted to write a book for a very long time. I had been working on writing for years before my father passed. And it took me another 10 years to finish the book after he died, but it kept me motivated to want to tell my story, which is in many ways also telling his story. The book is very much a love letter to my late father. So losing him was a catalyst in some ways for going deeper into what it was I really wanted to say and keeping me committed to completing it, even when those times came, and there were many of them, when I thought, this is too hard, I'm never going to be able to do this, I'm never going to finish this book. It feels incredibly gratifying now to be able to share who he was and what he did right. We all have our stories about what our parents could have done better, and my dad was no exception. He was certainly not a perfect man, but it's really nice to be able to share something that a parent did right. He never pushed me. He never expected too much of me, but he was always my soft place to fall when things didn't go well, and I knew that I didn't need to play any role in order to earn his love.
That is so beautiful. I know I lost my father when he was 64, and it was, again, a very quick situation, and
you know, it's wonderful when that can motivate you to make a real contribution in the world, Sandra, and you have on so many levels already, and you have so much left to contribute. But it may be a little early to ask this question, but if you looked at your contribution in the world almost like a legacy, what would that look like for you? What would you like to leave to the world?
Oh, well, that reminds me of a story that Oprah often tells. And Oprah's been a mentor to me throughout my life and an example of a woman who has moved through such difficulty in her life and found a way to empower herself to make such a difference in this world. And I remember she often tells a story that when she was talking to Maya Angelou, her mentor, about the school she opened for girls, the Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy for Girls in Africa. And she told Maya Angelou, that will be my legacy. And Maya schooled her by saying, you have no idea what your legacy will be. She said, your legacy isn't just the big things. Your legacy is every single life you touch. So I certainly hope that in every mundane moment of my life, not just the big splashy things that puts our names in the papers, it's how you treat the person who brings your scrambled eggs at the diner. I hope, and I certainly fail at it regularly, but my highest intention is to meet every pair of eyes, every person I meet, and to see behind the mask of the surface and to see the being that's there and to meet that being the way Christine meets the gaze of the Phantom in that final moment in the show, to see behind the mask and give each person the experience of feeling unconditionally accepted and loved, because we all need to know that we're worthy and we're whole and we are lovable exactly as we are.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Sandra Joseph, thank you so much for being with us today. I can't tell you, it was just an extraordinary experience spending time with you, and I so appreciate your generosity in sharing that time and sharing your wisdom and sharing just an amazing history that you've already developed and the contributions you've made. So I know that Unmasking What Matters, your new book, The 10 Life Lessons from 10 Years on Broadway, can be found on Amazon as well as all major booksellers. But is there some place where people could go to connect with you? Do you have a website, perhaps, where they could tap into more information and more of your wisdom?
Yes, I'm at sandrajoseph.com.
Wonderful. That's so easy to remember. So everyone, please visit sandrajoseph.com. And if you have not had a chance to read Sandra's book, Unmasking What Matters, pick it up. You will not regret it. It's an amazing book about an amazing life that's continuing in contribution. And again, we're so grateful to have you here.
Thank you so much, Vicki, for this rich conversation. And thank you for what you're doing in the world and your commitment to helping authors have their stories be told and giving so many people the opportunity to learn about new books. And I just appreciate you so much. My heart is very full from our conversation. So thank you.
Thank you. And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, our global communities and broadcasts, you can find us at getei.com. That's G-E-T-E-I.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.